How we long that you may be encouraged and find out more and more how strong are the bonds of Christian love. How we long for you to grow more certain in your knowledge and more sure in your grasp of God Himself. May your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself. For it is in Him and in Him alone that men find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here now is David Johnston, teaching on your selected topic to help you in your walk with Christ.
We have had a series on the goal called Training in Reigning. It's based on the scripture that we are to reign in life by one Christ Jesus. Take a real quick, this is the shortest little review you've seen. Then Samuel explained to the people the behavior of royalty. And he wrote it in a book, laid it up before the Lord, and then he sent all the people away, every man to his own house. So he taught the behavior of royalty, not to royalty, but, well, to all the men, and sent them back to their houses and their homes to practice the principles of royalty in their homes. And so that's why, in the New Testament, we've been learning how to reign in life by one Christ Jesus. Now, everybody is either ruled by the stuff of life, or we are on top of it. It's either on top of us, or we're on top of it. And so we have been learning some of these principles. This is what we've learned so far. We have learned the how, the three aspects of how to reign in life by one Christ Jesus. Then secondly, we've learned the royal law, which is, of course, is the law of love. Then we have learned the attributes of ruling. And then last week we began the behaviors of royalty, and we left off in the middle of the behaviors of royalty. And I have confidence that we're not going to get to the end again today, but we will by next Sunday, I believe. And let me just bow before the Lord, if you wouldn't mind, and say, Father, we want to honor you and honor your word now, and I ask you to help us to get understanding from your word, which will absolutely change our tomorrows. If we hadn't been in this meeting today, our tomorrows may not be much different. But, oh God, if you would be pleased to reveal your word to us, all of us will have a better future because of what we learn here from your word today. I ask this, I plead this, I request this, I entreat you for this. I invoke it from you, Lord, in the name of my Savior for this people, in the name of my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Okay, I want to talk today. The great hindrance to reigning. There is one, this is a startling revelation to me. I pray over or read the scriptures every week. We've been in this series and I've been doing diligence to it. And then Monday, stark, out of the clear blue sky, was actually birthed in a conversation that we had in the office last week. A startling discovery, and I want you to see this. So here we go. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, this is a startling revelation. The context of it, of course, as you know, Jesus was gathering disciples to leave off and follow him. And they all wanted to go back and do something that had to do with messing with their past. One wanted to look at a piece of land. One wanted to bury his father. And Jesus let the dead bury the dead. And then he made this astounding, simple proclamation that none of us, having put our hand to the plow and looking back, now what I want you to get is fit for the kingdom of God. Doesn't mean you won't be in the kingdom of God. Doesn't mean you don't belong in the kingdom of God. It just means you're not prepared prepared to function in the kingdom of God. You're not ready for reigning because you've got some major hindrance stopping you from being victorious in life. You're not fit for the kingdom. Now, it is shocking to me to discover this truth. Now, the illustration, by the way, was chosen by Jesus. It's the story. It's the illustration of a man plowing in a field. And we come into this kingdom, and we are like a plowman plowing, and if you look back, you can't plow. Hello. If you look in the wrong way, you can't function in the kingdom. You're not fit to function in the kingdom if we are looking back. Now, I can't tell you the gravity with which I want you to feel, hear, and taste this truth. If you have wondered why, since you became a Christian, or now that you're in the kingdom of God, it takes so much energy to go so few distance. We think we talked about it on Wednesday night. If X represents as an algebra the amount of energy, and you have to burn 100X energy, but you only get X or 5X or 10X result, that's tough living. That's not reigning in life. That's being under the stuff of life. God clearly indicates that he wants us to ride upon the high places of the earth. He doesn't want... Listen to Jesus. Listen to Jesus. This is Jesus saying this. He says, "Come unto me if you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you." Here we are, back to the illustration. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Now listen to this. My yoke is easy, and the burden is light. If we are in the kingdom but not experiencing the lightness, but still the heaviness, if we are still dragging, if we're not running upon the high places, if it's not easy, there's a reason. And I believe that Jesus has brought before us this morning the reason it's not easy. The reason is simply this. No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit, is equipped to function in the kingdom of God. You can't be a king if all you remember is your past pauperhood. So watch this now, because this is what I want us to learn. Here's a timeline, past, present, and future, and let's... This is the kingdom, by the way, a typo, 4 o'clock this morning on the first page there. Just correct it if you would. We lived in this kingdom of self, this kingdom of Satan, if you please. Same deal. When we talk about the kingdom of Satan, we talk about the kingdom of self. They are synonymous because Satan operates by selfishness. And so when we operate by self-will, we operate the same way Satan operates. Remember, he said, "I will ascend into the heavens. I will be like the Most High God. I will exalt my throne above the heavens. I will." That was his problem. He turned selfish, got kicked out of the universe faster than the speed of light because of that condition. And all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, not the devil's way, his own way. But our own ways are just like the devil's way. The devil does his own thing. We did our own thing. We're in this kingdom of self. Now watch this. And so we lived here, and we did all kinds of things wrong, and a few things right maybe. But then we entered into this new kingdom, this kingdom of God. And we began a new life at this point when Jesus Christ became the Lord of our life, and he came into us. And we entered this kingdom that operates under a different king. that operates by a different set of laws, a different set of principles, a different set of rules and regulations. And we came into this kingdom. Now watch this, because what I want you to grasp here is that when we operate in this kingdom, doing what needs to be done in here, we are kings under the king. He is the king of the kings, and you are the kings over which he is the king. And so we are to reign in life now by this one Christ Jesus, Romans 5:17. The difficulty, however, is that we look back. Now watch again. Here's the scripture. If we look back, then our fitness to function here is lost. It's the main reason why we don't walk in power with God. Now let's take a look at it. What does looking back do? Number one, it makes us unfit for the kingdom living. In other words, as long as we are looking back at our history, at what we've done before, at our sins, at what people have done to us, at what we've done to other people, if we look back, we can't function. And that's my next one. We are unable to function. We are unfit. In other words, our condition in the kingdom isn't accurized sufficiently to function properly. And what is this one flaw? What is this one thing that takes away our power, takes away our ability, takes away our fitness, takes away the conditions that we must have in order to function? What is this one flaw? It is simply looking back. No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit. And if we're not fit, then we can't function the way we should. Looking back prevents the old from passing away. Now watch this. We know this scripture. We quote it. We love it. We should. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things become new. But watch this. If we are looking back, we prevent the old things from passing away. We give them life because we give them attention. We give them notice. We give them space in our thinking. We get the results, and we prevent the old from passing away. Let's look at this diagram here for a moment. Here we are back to the diagram. We are supposed to be living in this kingdom over here now. But watch this now. But if I'm over here, and I'm always looking back, then all these little X's represent, could be sins, could be tragedies, could be things I did, could be things that were done against me. There were bitternesses, resentments, and angers, and hurts, and all kinds of stuff. Now watch this. God, watch the screen with me, wants us to function in this kingdom with this stuff out of the picture. He wants this out of the picture. He doesn't want us to look back. Looking back to this stuff of the past prevents the old from passing away. Because we continually observe it, we bring it into the context of the kingdom, when in fact redemption had to do with getting rid of it. So that's why we don't look back anymore. He that puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for function in the kingdom. And one of the things it does, it keeps the old from passing away. And it prevents the all from becoming new. Now, old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Now, let me ask you, how many things are included in the all things? I would say all of it. Let's go back here. Everything in here is brand new. None of the old is supposed to carry over here. What empowers the old to be mixed with the new? Looking back. Looking back. There are certain stuff from our history that needs to be absolutely, not just discarded, but negated, but out of existence, that deserves zero recognition. So looking back makes a person unfit in the kingdom. And in being unfit, he's unable to carry out a kingdom-style life as a man, Christian, as a husband, as a father, as a spouse, because we give life to the old by, watch this now, simply looking back brings it into the now. Because you look back when? Now. So what's back there doesn't stay back there. It comes in and it becomes mixed with the new. And the Lord wants us to live in a freedom that comes from never looking back. And then looking back hinders forward progress. Watch this. Here's what Paul said. Forgetting those things which are behind. Watch now. And reaching forth unto those things which are before. What's in front of us? What's ahead of us? That's what we're reaching for. That's what we should be dealing with. That's what we should be engaging. He said, look at this now. He said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, I want to go back to the scripture and I want you to see it one more time. Watch the screen. Notice this phrase. This is the authority for what I'm saying this morning, right from the scriptures. There is one thing that hinders function in the kingdom. There is one thing that makes us unfit. There's one thing the apostle said he was, this one thing I do. Forgetting the things which are behind. I don't know if y'all are getting this yet. I'm at my best stuff right now. This is this is the critical. This is the pinnacle. This is the point. This is the issue today. Because I don't want us just to go through a church service today. I want this to be a day of healing in this auditorium. I want this to be a day of revolution. I want you, when you leave here today, to have discovered this one flaw that will prevent the future and deal with it so your future will be what God wants it to be. Nothing to hinder it, nothing to stop you, nothing to slow you down, nothing to make you tread water, nothing to make you spend 100x energy to move 1x forward in distance. And I suggest to you that Paul puts his finger succinctly on this. And he said, this is one thing he knew he had to do. I have to forget stuff that's behind. Now, I'm telling you today, as plainly as I know, as clearly as I know how to say it, stop being so historical. How do you stop being historical? You stop looking at history. Stop looking at your history. Now, I don't know if I got those two boxes up there. Let me see if I do. No, I don't. Let me go back. Oh, how did I get skipped the web there? Hold on. Oh, I don't know how this happened. Oh, I'm going the wrong way. I'm sorry. Fingers on the wrong button. Please put your hand over your eyes. Don't look at the screen. I got to get back to where I was supposed to be. This doesn't happen to me very often. It's old age, so my wife says. All right. Let's go to this diagram. By looking back with a sense of history, whatever is back here you bring all these things, you empower them in the present. Let's just brainstorm for a moment. What kind of stuff will you bring into the kingdom, your function in the new kingdom, by looking back? I'll suggest a few things, and you're free to shout some of them out as you think of them. The sense of failure. Do you know how hard it is to get rid of a sense of failure? I'll tell you. It's impossible if you keep looking back. If you stop looking back, you will have no sense of failure. Looking back, do you know what it will bring into the present? Shame. Mm-hmm. You know what? God doesn't want that. You can't reign in life and have a sense of shame. You can't rule over the stuff of life because you see, shame will rule over you. It fills your spirit. It fills your How about guilt? No, we're not supposed to have it anymore. How come Christians still have a sense of guilt if we're not supposed to have it anymore? How do we know we're not supposed to have it anymore? There's therefore now no to them which are in Christ Jesus. How come we still have it? Because we have guilt today because we I should point this way. We look back. If you look back, you'll probably have bitterness. Because somebody did you bad back there. Do you think that God intended the evil that was done to you to be unaddressed, to be unredeemed, and for you to have to carry it the rest of your life? The reason we have trouble reigning in life by one Christ Jesus is because we've got one hindrance. Looking back. Human wreckage is piling up fast. All over the world. And you know what? Churches can accumulate a lot of human wreckage. Only because people accumulate a lot of wreckage. And the wreckage seems to have a life to it and keep on doing it to us. Because when you look back, we're unfit to deal with the kingdom now. Because when we look back, our unfitness leads to the inability to function. By looking back, we don't let the old pass away. We keep it. By looking back, we prevent the everything from becoming new. One activity, one trick of Satan, and he can waste your years, waste your life in the kingdom when you know you ought to be functioning almost like a spiritual muscle man, but instead, it's hard, it's difficult. Because you can't plow and look back. You can't do the kingdom stuff and look back. You might say, well, Pastor, I only look back once in a while. And that is all it takes to bring into the present that which should have passed away. That's all it takes to keep the present from becoming just, exclusively new. Where would we be today if we didn't experience, in some measure, Christ's ability to take stuff out of our life that didn't belong there? And the danger, my friend, is to limit what Jesus takes out of your life. He just doesn't take out some vile 10 sins or 20 sins or 500 sins. What he wants to take out of us is all the old stuff. That old stuff includes stuff that if you looked at it, you would think it was successful, good stuff. You can't, I mean, God knows, you're going to have to pray for the Jaguars if they're going to do anything this year. And I don't think God will answer that anyhow, so don't spend a lot of time there. But let me tell you something. just because somebody was good last year could very well be a hindrance for them being good this year. Because a lot of us think we are what we were. And nothing could be further from the biblical truth. So you see, Paul got it straight. One thing. Forget those things which are behind. Let me stop here a bit longer. What about those who have failed you? Are you going to keep their failure of you in the present? Remember, a long time ago, we did this, and I do it again because this is appropriate. We have this word resentment. And resentment comes from the French verb sentir, S-E-N-T-I-R. Not doing too good here, will you? It's the French verb sentir, S-E-N-T-I-R. This French verb means to feel. So resentment is to re-feel. If we will learn today not to look back, you will stop re-feeling what happened back there. What a blessed relief. There are people here, I happen to know many of your stories, who have been so done in, damaged. I mean, that's what makes pastors cry, weep. The risk is that what was done will just be as real today as it was 30 years ago when it happened. And that's why two things become necessary. Forgive that person. Because if you don't forgive them, what will you be doing? Be looking back all the time. Looking at them. It hinders progress. And then by looking back, we preserve all past sins and failures. We bring them back to life again. Now, interesting, if I ask people, what's the shortest verse in the Bible, everybody would say, Jesus wept, two words. The second shortest verse in the Bible is in front of you. Remember Lot's wife. Why do you think that Jesus, who's the one who said this, wanted us to remember Lot's wife? What did she do? She looked back. And turned into a real strong preservative. In fact, I have a picture of her. Turned into a pillar of salt. Now, I'm going to see if I can find hitching posts here because I want to get you to Let's go to this focus of redemption. Almost every gospel presentation you hear is based around, are you ready? If you were to die tonight, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? As if that's the problem. As if the gospel is just a ticket to heaven. Almost all preaching these days that has to do with the gospel has to do with fire insurance, the future, when in fact, redemption has to do largely with dealing with our past. Did you know that? Let's look at the scripture. Referring to Jesus, whom God has set forth for to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. Now, watch here. There's certainly the gospel is going to affect our future. That's why I put this arrow here. But let me tell you something. If there's anything Jesus comes to your life to do, it's to deal with this. It's to get this so out of you that you can live in this new kingdom. Redemption is focused on dealing with your past. That's why redemption is retroactive. Redemption is retroactive. It goes back into all the bits and pieces of your past and rewrites your history. Because you did stuff back there that will always damage you into eternity unless something's done with what's happened back there. And so what does he do? He comes with his precious blood. Oh, my beloved. He comes with his precious blood to cleanse us from every single thing that's back there and get it out of existence. He just doesn't forgive the sin and leave it dangling out there. It's not floating around in some sea of forgetfulness. It's not removed as far as the east is from the west. Used to be that way in the Old Testament, which is, by the way, a long way. Because no matter how far you go east, you'll never get west. He comes now through Calvary to get rid, eliminate, cancel, put in remission, drive it out of existence. And this is why one of my favorite thoughts I've ever had in my life that the Lord gave me about 4 years ago. And I love to quote it to you, and you might get tired of hearing it, but I'm going to tell it to you again this morning. I will never forget the day this thought struck me. Never doubt that the God who can speak something out of nothing, which is what he did at creation, never doubt that the God who can speak something out of nothing can speak nothing out of something. And that's what he does with your sins and my sins. Hallelujah. Amen. World, give him praise, folks. Give him praise. Give him praise. Now, looking back is the enemy's way of getting us to revise, to revitalize, to revisualize, to bring back into existence that which God has canceled. Redemption is about getting rid of all of the stuff. The remission of sins that are past. Oh, blessed thought. Oh, don't we sing that song? It is well with my soul. Remember the verse? My sins, which were many, are nailed to the cross. My sin, not in part, but the whole, are nailed to the cross. And I bear it no more. You see, looking back, you will bear it again. So, let's look at some scriptures. Referring to you as a creature, and this Romans 8 does that. The creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Watch this now. In fact, I'm going to put it on the screen. There it is. From bondage to the corruption into the liberty of the children of God. Listen to the words again of Jesus. No man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom. He's missing liberty. Let's look at another verse. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Watch here now. Watch the screen. Who's going to come along and accuse you of this, or accuse you of that, or accuse you of this, or accuse you of the whole thing? Who can lay anything, any charge against you for any of those past things? What's the answer? Nobody. Why? Because it's God that justifies. And if you try living in this kingdom without knowing you have been justified, you're living unfit. And if unfit, unable, disempowered. Who is he that condemneth? Oh, these are the great truths, aren't they? Who is he that condemns you for this? Who can condemn you for that? The answer? Nobody. Why? Because it is Christ that died. Yea, rather that is risen. And boy, this phrase begs a sermon. You say, well, wait. See, Paul's saying, hey, nobody can condemn you because Christ died for your sins. But then he says, oh, yea, rather, he's risen. And we learned this already, Romans chapter 5. We are reconciled by his death much more than we shall be saved by his life. The resurrection power of Jesus does stuff that his death would certainly cancel the sin and the condemnation, but his life, my friends, the life of Jesus. And look at this. So nobody can condemn you for what you did back here because it's God that justifies you. Nobody can lay anything to the charge of God's elect. It's God that justifies. Who is he? Who is he to condemn you for something you did back here? Because it's Christ that died, yea, rather, is risen from the dead, who is even present tense at the right hand of the Father, who makes intercession for us. What's he doing? What's an interceder? An intercessor is someone who stands in the gap, who stands between some one person and somebody else. He's an in-between, and he's going to prevent somebody from getting to somebody else without going through him. That's what an intercessor does. So here's God. Now, this isn't about praying. This is about interceding. Not all intercession is prayer. And certainly not all prayer is intercession. But watch this now. That we have, who can condemn us? Like Satan used to come before God and tell all the things that David Johnson had ever done. But there is somebody who died for my sin, yea, rather is risen, and he's sitting right now at the right hand of God, and he's interceding for me. He's interrupting. Are you ready? He's interrupting. He stopped. People come with accusations, and he grabs them and throws them aside because of what he did on the cross and what he did in his resurrection, and he's still functionally doing it today, and nobody can condemn you anymore. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For what the law could not do, and it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son, the likeness of sinful Son, condemned sin in the flesh. Oh, beloved, the focus of redemption, notice, nobody can lay a charge to you. Nobody can condemn you. And so here you are in this kingdom now, with a different piece of equipment than you otherwise would have. If you look back, you will get condemnation. But if you live in the kingdom and don't look back, condemnation free, because redemption is designed to get rid of that. What shall we say then about all these things? Look at this. If God be for us, who can be against us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Now watch this, because I'm going to spin it a little. I don't think it's spinning, but I'm going to inject to help you see here. What can, like, we're over here in this kingdom now, what can separate us from the love of God? Shall tough times that came upon us? Watch, listen. Shall tough times that we put on somebody else keep us from the love of Christ? Did you get it? Shall distresses that we have had to go through separate us from the love of Christ? Shall distresses we put other people through keep us from the love of Christ? Have you been persecuted? Have you been the persecutor? This is being written by the most renowned persecutor of Christ and Christians in all of history. His name was Saul. He became Paul. No one does now. Can you imagine what he had to deal with if he kept looking back? Do you know how many times he got official legal papers to kill Christians? And he took a small posse with him, and they would go and find these Christians, look up their addresses, find them. And then he would hold the clothes while they took him at the edge of town and stoned them to death. How'd you like to get saved with that background? How'd you like to have to live with that the rest of your life? Let me tell you a little secret. Paul didn't have to live with it the rest of his life. Yeah, he was a persecutor. But can that separate you from the love of God? Didn't separate. You know how he was able to cope? This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. And hunger, or maybe you made people go hungry. Or maybe it was your nakedness, or maybe it was peril. Maybe you used the sword and afflicted other people. Can any of these things separate us from the love of God? Absolutely not. I'm going to quit here. And we'll finish next Sunday. My hope today has been that you have captured the essence of this one important truth, and you have done so succinctly and so fully that you will never live your life in the kingdom with the struggles that you have been living with. For no man comes into this new kingdom, puts his hand to the plow, and looks back. He's fit, able to function in the kingdom. And what I think would be pleasing to the Holy Spirit today is before we leave here, that we stop looking back. And walk out of this sanctuary into the rest of your years in the kingdom of God, which is really forever, unhindered, unaffected, undamaged, unrestrained, uncluttered by everything that was ever in the past. Because it's the key to reigning in life now by one Christ Jesus. He's done everything He can do to deliver your past. Have you? All He asks you to do is to forget it. And don't look back. Heavenly Father, we come to You just now in the name of Jesus. And I know that sitting before You there are those who even have devils lurking in the past. Great damage and destruction has occurred. And we've been done wrong. Very wrong. We've been hurt. Wounded. But oh Lord Jesus, wounds that should have healed with the passing of time are still open. And so we come to You today to ask You to forgive us for giving life to what should be forgotten. That we live now with a new dignity. That forbids us mental, emotional, entertaining of stuff that should have passed away. All the old stuff. And it keeps every day from being brand spanking new. So we come to You just now to bring this failure and ask You to forgive it. We'll never even have to look back on this again. Because we want to be fit for the kingdom. We want to be able to plow. And no man can plow without looking where he's going, instead of where he's been. I ask the Holy Spirit to help us right now to commit an act of crucifixion, a crucifying of everything old. And oh God, how far back is back? For some of us, only an hour ago. We forget all the stuff behind us now. And while our heads are bowed, and I ask the Holy Spirit to move among us this morning, would You in Your place, would you right now let this truth divide you from the behaviors that you have had in the kingdom to a new sense of life? Unhindered by anything in the past.
We trust this teaching has been a blessing to you. For further information on other teaching and series topics, please visit our website at nothingbutthetruth.us or call us toll-free at 1-888-THE-TRUTH. That's 1-888-438-7884.